Bible says from the time Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And I looked at it, who was operating between John the Baptist and himself? It was. Praise God. First is that the kingdom of God, God is not a principle, but God has principles in his kingdom. Principles by which things operate, principles by which the kingdom works. Amen. It is vital that we understand this, because if we don't, the things that the Lord has promised us will seem not to work. Actually, they will not work. But, you know, people don't understand why it's not working. And sometimes they would cry, scream, blame people or blame God, or even, you know, say, you know, blaspheme, things of God don't work. All those things are just written there, they don't work, all that. And they start cursing and insulting pastors. Now, first, what is a principle? All right? A principle, I put together a couple of dictionaries and stuff like that, because I know what I want to say, but they help me put it in words. Amen? What I mean by that is that to give us proper understanding. A principle is a comprehensive, Webster says, is a comprehensive and fundamental law. And a one science dictionary says it's an, or underlining, is an underlining rule or value that governs the way things work. Hallelujah. If you line up with the principle, it will work, or the law. If you don't line up with it, it won't work, whether you cry or not. In fact, you can fast. If you still don't apply the principle, it will not work. All right? The cars we drive, all right, that are automatic, when you want to start the engine, you put your, they tell you to push down the brake pedal, right? If you don't do that, the car won't start. How many of us know that? Now, you can drop the engine of the, you can cry and scream at the vehicle and come out of the car and kick the tires. Will it start? No. You can drop the engine of the vehicle, couple it back. Will it start? But the simple thing you need to have done, in fact, you can slap the passenger beside you that this was his curse that brought that on your vehicle, it still won't start. You can accuse everybody in the world of witchcraft. Your car will still not start. The reason is that you did not apply the principle. Now, the minute you put your foot down on those brakes and push it down like they said, and you start your vehicle, it will start. Praise the Lord. That is how principles work. They govern the way things work. Amen? Hallelujah. So also is the principle of confession. That is the role of confession, is a principle. Hallelujah. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we also need to point it out that, all right, let's look at something that Jesus did. He had to set forth something in the word to let us, to bring us into this understanding. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 11, I'm going to read from verse 12. It says here, and on the morrow, when they were come into Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he thought, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as he passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou causest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Praise the Lord. Now, he said here in verse 22, have faith in God. I say that to say this. Though the next verse, he said, I say that whosoever, meaning that he was talking to the whole world. Actually, that is potentially true, but not, he was not saying it to the world in that context. Like anybody can just come off the street and say something and it will work. Remember, he said something before then, have faith in God. So it is those who have faith in God or have the God kind of faith that can do this. Let's stick with have faith in God. It is those who believe on the Lord in my day. It is those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that have a part in the covenant. They have a part in the testament. Let me use the right word. They have a part in the testament or the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not a heir to the testament. And God has said this from the beginning. In Psalm 50, verse 16, he says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? Now, who is the wicked? He's talking about those who have not received the free gift of righteousness. You know, righteousness under the new covenant or testament is a free gift. It's a free gift to those who receive Jesus as Lord. The Bible tells us that he who knew no sin, God made to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is important that we lay this necessary framework or foundation, all right, of thinking, so that when we are applying the principle, we will apply it according to knowledge and understanding, which is faith. Where the knowledge of the word of God is there, faith is there. So in the kingdom of God, when you receive Jesus as Lord, then you receive righteousness. He's the righteous one. He comes into your life and removes the wicked person and puts a righteous person in there and goes to your eternal account and credits you with righteousness. Praise God. That is how you became righteous. You didn't become righteous because you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus did that on our behalf. Amen? So all the things he did were credited to our account as children of God. So now we have righteousness. We are the righteous ones. It's both an imputement and a real present day reality in the realm of the spirit. You know, when somebody says, I confer you honorary degree. You're called a doctor, but you're not a doctor. Do you understand? It's honorary. It's not the same thing we have in Christ. What God did, he put it in our human spirit. So that if you're seen in the realm of the spirit, you have a garment of righteousness on you. You are righteous as those who labored for it and were conferred with righteousness. You can cry. Crying does not make the word work. Crying is an emotional outburst based on the fact that you are weak. You're feeling very weak. Now, there are various tears. Tears of joy exist and all of that. Tears of gratitude can be there. That's tears of joy. Now, but when you're crying because it's not working, you're crying out of frustration. And you need to find out, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing it right? If I'm doing it right, it will work. Christianity is called the great confession. It's called the great confession. Everything we are doing rises and falls on our confession. We got saved by our confession. But the fact that if we believed only and didn't say anything, we will not be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so with the heart I believe the things that God has said, and with my mouth I declare them. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. But I want to say this to us. The same principle that governs prayer governs whatsoever. God knows that we as his children know him. Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so we are supposed to know what the will of God is when we are coming to him for anything. The Bible tells us in the book of in the epistles of John chapter 5, it says there, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. So whatever we are confessing or declaring must be in accordance with the testament. If God did not offer it, we can't confess it into being. When I say God didn't offer it, what I'm saying is that if God did not provide for us to say the things that we're saying, it will not work. Just like you cannot, out of confession, claim somebody's husband or wife. I claim her, I receive her in the name of Jesus and all of that. It's not going to work. In fact, to say that is sacrilege. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of foolishness is what? Sin. What is foolishness? That which does not line up with God's wisdom. Amen? And the wisdom of God is the word of God. Amen? Christianity is the great confession. Our confession determines our stability in life. If we are unstable emotionally, it is because we are saying something unstable in our words. If we are unstable in our finances, we are unstable in our confession. Our confession is the driver's wheel. You know, wheel of a vehicle determines what direction you're going to go in. If you wanted to do a right turn and you steered the wheel in the left direction, you will go left in spite of your best intentions to go right. Your action and took you in a different direction. In much the same way, if you intended to go up as God promised. He says, on top only shall you be and never beneath. And you're saying you are cast down and nothing is working. You are not, though your intention was to go up, you did not line up with God and you will go down. Be the best living Christian in righteousness that there be. You are breaking a principle, a fundamental way through which things work, or law by which things work. You are breaking it. You are breaking it. He said, but Pastor, I have been saying that I'm on top, and I have not been on top all these years. What are you talking about? You did not believe it with your heart. You were trying to see if it will work. When we get saved or got saved, we didn't confess it and then go around and say, well, we didn't get saved. Did we do that? No. We believed it was settled. We walked our way. We are not supposed to say that it's not working. If we know it's working, then it cannot not be working. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith and confession is a tool. It's not based on how we feel. Your confession should not be based on your emotional state. It has nothing to do with it. So no matter how bad you feel, all right, or how crazy the system is, you declare the direction you want to go. Your confession determines the trajectory of your life. Hallelujah. It determines the direction in which your life is going to go. If you want to go in the direction of poverty, keep poverty in your mouth. You are going to be poor. If you don't want things to work, put the work of failure in your, the word of failure in your mouth. The Bible does not say we should put the word of failure. It says that the word of faith is in our mouths, not the word of failure. But if you want to fail, you're welcome to declare it. The reason why it would seem that some people are enjoying this thing and others are not is because some people actually speak the word. Some don't. Some speak it because it started off cool and everything is all right. You know, you have a lot of money in your bank account. Say, I'm rich. Everything is good. Your investments seem to be working. So you're saying everything is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Everything is working well. Then maybe some policy came and they did something that seemed to wipe out your business. They say things are not working. I've tried everything. After 2 years, then the person is not doing, say, God, I don't know what these people are doing. These government people, they've messed up the whole thing and all of that. And listen, it's one thing to say government messed it up. It's another thing to say you are messed up because government messed it up. The fact that government messed it up does not mean you have to be messed up. Some people say their grandfather was a crackhead. Their great-grandfather was a crackhead. Their father's crackhead, it says he runs in the family, that they have a family demon. If you say that, you will never overcome it. And what you're saying does not line up with the word of God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translation says, a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are become new. And all of these things are of God. Generational curses are passed away. Now, the devil can try to seem to want to, you know, superimpose the thing he did with your father with you, or did with your grandfather with you. But the Bible tells us that we should resist the devil and he will flee from us. That's what he says. He says, humble yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so I will humble myself. How do I humble myself? I accept what God has said as being true. I insist by standing on the word of God violently. Bible says, from the time Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist, even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And I looked at it. Who was operating between John the Baptist and himself? It was himself and his disciples. What was he doing? He was appropriating the word of God to himself violently. Bible says he opened the scripture, the scroll, and he found, or the scriptures, he found where it was written. He found where it was written. It wasn't that he got a special different revelation. He found all the revelation he had was that he was the Son of God. And every time he saw that anything related to the Son of God, he appropriated it to himself violently. Understand that we live in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We live in the realms of the controls of this life. And so when things are before us, we need to make a determination. What direction do I want to go? It's technical. We're in the warfare. What direction do I want to go? This situation has shown up. There's a financial situation. There is a health situation. What direction do I want to go? Do I want to go down or I want to go up? Do I want to get out of this bed and walk, or do I want to remain here?